reasons that the doctor, Dr. Aiken from California, has sent us, and I thank him and the group there for their deep and, I think, provoking, thought-provoking questions.
Very good. I will quote from his letter. How could a soul knowingly incarnate into a path of seeming evil and destruction, like Hitler or Idi Amin? As human beings, we have interpreted these things as evil, but is it seen as evil on a higher cosmic plane?
All right. I'll answer the second question first, if I might. We are not accustomed to using words good and evil. However, it is true that we have two classifications of human action. Are they moving you toward freedom, or are they moving you toward bondage? This is the only way that we choose to differentiate between actions on the earth plane. Anything that is moving you toward freedom is, in our mind, what you would call the power of the good. Anything that is moving you further into bondage, in our mind, is not. And this is not according to your standard, because many of the things that you consider to be good, we consider to be leading you more and more and more into bondage. For example, the person who is extremely pious and very judgmental feels that they are moving closer and closer to the good, whereas in our perception, it is often the one who is filled with chaos and difficulty and a chaotic life that is much closer to understanding the way and the necessity for freedom. So it is very difficult, and this is why again and again we ask you, do not judge unless somehow you have risen your consciousness to such an expanded state that you are able to know the difference between an action that is moving toward the good and one that is moving toward illusion. It is simply a matter of, do you have enough scope? And with all due respect, there are very few that do have this kind of vision. It takes a great overall view of all past lifetimes, of all understandings come together in between lifetimes and so on. Do you understand? So the answer is, there is no such thing. And if you wish to use a bit of divine judgment within yourself for yourself, I would ask that you do this. Before you perform an action, ask yourself a very basic question. What is it for? What am I doing this for? If I am doing this in order to further my own desires, my own egotistical attachments, my own financial rewards, my own glory, my own position in the world, or my own manipulation of others, if this be what you are doing, then understand, however it might look on the outside, then you are moving further into bondage. On the other hand, if you can look at the action and say, I am doing this in order to free my awareness, I am doing this in order to open the back door on this world of illusion and perceive it clearly, then know that you are moving toward freedom and not toward bondage. Do you understand what I mean? It is a moment-to-moment choice. Each moment, in each moment that you decide an action, you have a choice. Are you going to act from the ego, or are you going to act from the vastness? If you are acting from the ego, you are moving toward bondage, greater, greater bondage. If you are not, if you are freeing up the moment and saying the divine energy is going to move in this moment and I am going to be the observer of that movement, then you are moving toward freedom, and there is no other thing to be said about it. Do you understand? If you use your mind and your ego in order to decide what to do, the chances are excellent that you are going to be moving into an ego situation and further bondage. On the other hand, if you step back and allow the divine energy to speak and move in you, and then tell you, which it will, precisely what you should do, then you are moving toward freedom. It's very simple. So, but the first question is more difficult. With all due respect to those humans who feel themselves to be holy and pious and righteous, I would say this. No situation such as Hitler's Germany could ever have arisen had there only been one evil man in the world. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes.
It is simple to point the finger at the one who is the center of the power movement and said, it is his evil. What a terrifying man. I would tell you that this is not the divine perception. The divine perception is this. He chose a life of power. Anyone who chooses a life of power stands the chance of falling, and falling mightily. Misuse of power is always possible for anyone who chooses a life of power. When he began, we are speaking now of Hitler, I feel I should talk about him, this is more the universal problem, I think. When he began his movement into his own power structure, he saw clearly his own dark self. He was not able to see that those illusions that he had in his mind were just of his own making, that the race was superior and another inferior, and that power would be the best motive and movement for his country and so on. He didn't understand. He was in the darkness. But may I say this very clearly, it never would have happened if he did not have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people with similar energy uniting with his thought form and saying, yes, do not be so pious that you as human beings put the blame of such difficulties on others. Please understand, without the tremendous help of all of the negative energy of all of those persons, nothing like this could ever have come to being on the earth plane, never. Now let us look on the opposite side. Let us look on the side of the so-called allies, the so-called persons with the white hats, if you will. When you are through with it all, you have said that something called freedom is so important that you will kill millions in order to have it. This is an illusion. I would ask all people who judge to think very carefully of who is really wearing the white hat in all of these events. Is it really true that one country is so much more evil than the other country? Is this really the case? It is true that it seems that way on many levels. But the fact is that if you can amass a fighting force that will go out and murder another force for something as illusory as freedom, which is a very illusory point to think about in your mind, if that is what your goal is in life, and if you are willing to kill for it, then I think we should look into the hearts of these people and ask, well, really, is there a great deal of difference? It is so simple to say that one country is wrong and another country is right. This is not the divine perception. You know, everyone says, well, God is on one country's side and so forth. You know, well, I don't know what kind of a God that is. I certainly have never run across it. I have never run across this. I can tell you that there is great heartache, if you wish to put it that way, in the celestial regions when such events take place on the earth plane. Make no mistake. But there is also heartache on the higher regions when two wonderful people choose to destroy each other through malice and difficulty and chaos and resentment. You understand, it always comes down to the same thing. If one person chooses to incarnate with power, they have a blueprint that they can realize. Taken to the maximum, this gentleman that you have come to call the Hitler of the world could have turned into a very vast and important helper of all mankind. He had the power. If those had come about him and had been able to show him that his power was being misused and given him the opportunity to use it in another way. Do you understand? But this did not happen.
Is this normally the case where there's potential for great good that it could go the other way?
It is always so. Power is there. It can go in either direction. Be aware of this and be aware of something else which may not please all of you. In a lifetime that has no power in it, very little can be accomplished. Very little can be accomplished in a life with no power, because it takes power to do anything worth doing, my friends, anything. So understand that when you see these great demagogues moving on the earth plane, understand that had they had a different surrounding, had they had that same power, but without that one dark spot in their consciousness, had they been able to have called on the mass of help around them to cure the illness and thereby flow into the divine pattern of health rather than into destruction, everything would have been different. Understand, when you choose to come into a lifetime, you have various choices. One is maximum. Maximum. There is always a maximum plan for any life that comes into the earth plane. Be assured of that. But can you not find the energy and the motivation to follow and go to maximum, which always requires great so-called sacrifice on the part of the human? If you are not willing to set aside all else and move toward the one goal, then understand you must settle for less. And if you cannot meet that, then there is something less. Do not make the mistake to think that there is only one and one only blueprint that follows your whole lifetime. Please do not make this mistake. You are not so isolated as you think. This is why it is so intensely important that you be careful who you take, who you spend a lot of your time with. Because the people who you spend a lot of your time with are going to influence you whether you are aware of that influence or not. Understand that. This is why it's so difficult for doctors and nurses to believe in health and not illness, because they are constantly surrounded by illness. As much as they would like to believe in something higher, they end up believing in the power of illness because they are surrounding themselves on all sides with illness. It is extremely difficult. This is understood, and this is why it takes a strong person. It takes a very strong consciousness to be able to stay in such an institution as a health problem and still move to freedom that says there is no such thing as illness. So is it with evil. If you surround yourself with evil, as you did, sir, in the penitentiary, it is extremely difficult to not believe in the power of evil. It is extremely difficult to keep your own mind in balance and harmony and not fall into the pits of difficulty that come from believing such thought forms. That which you have surrounded yourself by is that which tells you what your world is inside. Whatever your world is outside, my friends, that is what you believe inside. If you do not like what you see outside, then I suggest with all due dispatch that you begin to change within. How do you do that? It's so very simple. You simply change your mind. The only thing that you can change, my friends, is your mind. Your thoughts are the only things that you have the power to change. And when you change them, everything else must change. It is the divine law. If you are not going to take the initiative to change your own thoughts, then you are conditioned to follow with all of the absolute continuation of the old thoughts that will then run your life. And then you will find yourself moving through your life with all the old and nothing new. And this must be your destiny. And you will die filled with the old thoughts. And you will fight with all due power against new thoughts, because you do not wish to change. So is it with power. When these gentlemen, such as Hitler, were moving into their power time, and when the energy was being built, and they threw out different seeds, different thoughts, and they saw which ones grew, all of a sudden, instead of just being able to assess clearly and rationally the judgment within their being of balance and harmony, they fell into the trap of saying, if all of these people think I am right, then I must be right. Do you understand? When you give up your own self-awareness of what you know in your being is right and trust others outside yourself to tell you if you are right, then you are trapped. Do you understand? Have I made that clear? If you keep going outside yourself for validation of what is right for you to do in any given moment, you are going to be trapped by other people's opinions. And how are you to know if they are right or wrong? Hitler honestly believed himself to be right, my friends. Make no mistake. Make no mistake about it. The reason that he ended his life in total insanity, which, by the way, he certainly did, was because he was surrounded with people of total imbalance. And when you are surrounded with people of imbalance, eventually all of you begin to unbalance each other. It is almost like a mass insanity movement within that the structures that they always inhabited together. And he had the same persons around him all the time. You know, there were very few new people in his life, and he was very careful not to allow them to come into his life. And therefore, they themselves were unbalanced. You must understand this, that all of the great leaders of that time were unbalanced people. Their perceptions were very warped. But they were not alone. The entire nation, with few exceptions, rallied to the cause. Why? Because the dark part of their nature delighted in its expression. They enjoyed it, my friends. As badly as that is to face, they enjoyed it. You must understand this is part of the human condition. The human loves to feel superior. He loves to feel in control of. He loves to feel somehow above and stronger than and more important than other. That is what an ego is. That, my friends, is what an ego is. Why are you surprised? Why would anyone be surprised? If you are looking very carefully at your own ego structures, you will see that egos love to be number one. Do not be surprised, my friends, as the world shows you ego after ego wanting to be first. There's nothing surprising in this. If you wish to really understand, then watch your own mind so carefully that you will be able to find your own thoughts arising that would like power and control over others. Be very aware. Just watch. And in the watching, you will find yourself having a part of your being totally connected to all of the power figures of the past that have misused their power. But I will tell you this. You will never become free until you face the fact that you might misuse power and be strong enough to use it anyway. Do you understand me? Do you hear me? To not use your power simply because you were afraid you will misuse it is to absolutely guarantee that you will do no good, and you may do no harm either, but you will certainly do no good. Then I ask you, of what value has this life been? If when you end it, you can simply say, I have kept the balance. I have done no bad and I have done no good. Then what is the point of it all? You must be courageous. All of you listening to this tape must be courageous. Now, what does that mean? That simply means that if you are paying attention to your life, you will see that when you start moving into areas that are fearful, it is usually because someone in your life or some group in your life is about to come down on you if you choose to take a certain path. You will not get the smiles and the beams and the authority response of gratitude because you were taking a new way in your life. You may find yourselves alone. It may happen. You just may be alone in your life with just a few people who still believe in the vision in your mind. And then all of a sudden you have to call yourself into question. The whole world says that this is crazy. Is it? Where then do you go for your assurance of your rightness of your actions? If you are used to going to other people to tell you what to do, my friends, you will never be courageous, ever. Because the world outside will always give you the lowest common denominator. Do you understand? The world, if you are going to take a poll on your street of what to do, you will always come up with the lowest common denominator. And that is not what you need to live a courageous life. What you need is to go within your being in the silence and the solitude of your own inner guide and say, what must I do? Show me and I will do it. If you are not getting such messages, it merely means that they know that you don't mean it. All of you listening to this tape understand. You say over and over, I hear it every so often I hear, but I want to know, I want to know. And I say, is that true? If you really wanted to know, then you would know. And if you are not knowing now, it is simply because they know that to tell you is to mean that you will not respond. They are not going to continually yell in a deaf ear. They're going to wait until you open up your own being and begin to hear things. People who say, I want to know God's will, but I don't know it, are simply people who are spending all of the time talking with their mind and no time listening with their heart. God speaks constantly, constantly. There is never a moment in the time span of your whole life that He is not speaking. It is simply a matter of who's listening. And most of the time, nobody's listening. And then life becomes confusing and chaotic and lonely, and one says, where is my God? And nothing has changed. God is still talking, but who is listening? If you are listening to the chatter of your mind, then you are not going to be able to hear his voice. Be assured of that. It is simply a matter of who are you listening to. Do you listen to your fears? There's no fear in God. There is none. There is no fear in God, my friends. There isn't any. You have a choice. You can have love or you can have fear, but you can't have both because God is love and he is not fear. So what do you choose? And you say to me, but I can't help it. I'm afraid. And I say, but you can help it. You can help it. And the way you help it is you say, I choose not to be afraid. I choose to be courageous. I choose courage. I choose strength. I choose love and understanding and peace and joy. I choose them. All of the books tell me that they're my divine right. Now I claim them. Am I a son of God? If I am, then I inherit the kingdom in Christian terms. And in inheriting the kingdom, what does this mean? You walk up and you say, this is mine. And the Father said, yes, so be it. It is yours. It has always been yours. But if one does not choose to be courageous, if one rather sees oneself pleasingly as a puny and whining worm crawling the earth plane, if that somehow is a pleasing symbol, then the worm cannot stand on its hind feet and claim to be a son of God. That is not possible. And many people hide behind their illusions of their wormness only because they are afraid to stand up and say, I am a son of God. It's just a choice. So to go back to the situation with Hitler, please understand, my friends, anything that goes on in the world of these so-called evil powers is simply a reflection of the greatest awareness of the planet at that time. It could not have come into being if the awareness of the planet were harmoniously in balance against it. It could not have been. This is something you must remember. Do not place such evil events in your mind, evil events, out of your mind and say they have nothing to do with me. They are mirrors, always mirrors, of that dark self within you that needs to be seen. You don't need to participate in and become so-called evil in order to understand your own evil. You only have to silence yourself long enough to look, and you will find it. This is just a little man with a lot of power who moved through a situation where everyone in his periphery said, yes, yes, we want this, and they wanted it. Now, as dismal as that may seem, may I point out the positive side of that, please? There will come a time in the not-too-distant future, and it is coming closer all the time, when the nucleus of people is going to say something quite different. They're going to say, I want the light, and I want it now, and I want it 24 hours a day, and I want it for everyone. I want it at all times and in all places for all people. And I will do anything necessary to bring that forward. And when you begin a nucleus of that kind of power, you do the same thing. Just as that can as the days of the Nazi regime can serve as a symbol of man's capacity for darkness, I would like for you to look on it as also the opposite, which is the capacity for total light. Because understand, the very same mechanism that moved that can move it for the light. Do you understand? Nothing needs to be different. All you need to do is to begin to have and become associated together in a center of power of light to such an extent that then people start coming who are of like mind. And instead of bringing out the darkness, you will be together to bring out the light. And there is nothing mysterious about that. It is simply like attracts like. And that is all that needs to be seen. If you can see this as something that can change the world, as that war changed the world, so can, if I might be so frank, so can a few people who come together in the love of the one God for the light can make the same kind of changes. Do you see the hope embedded in this kind of symbology. Man looks on it and sees the darkness, and I understand that, but I ask you to turn your mind on it and see that this is a mechanism properly used can bring absolute maximum power of the light to the earth plane. As it happened for the dark, so can it happen for the light. Think about what would have happened if the opposite had been true. If this man had been able to go out into the world with a speech of goodness and holiness and upliftment and been able to draw the same kind of power. And the reason he couldn't was because in their consciousness, the darkness was much stronger and wanted to be expressed much more than did the power for the light. But things are changing. This is why I keep saying, moving across the world is a vast movement of awareness, unlike any you have seen in many, many incarnations. And now is the opportunity. And now is the time. But my friends, again I say to you, please understand our position. As much as we want to bring forward and help the power for the light, understand, we cannot do it without you. The statement of those who are for me, those who are not for me must stand against me. All right? This is a statement. Is that a correct quotation? The understanding of that is very simple. Those who do nothing for the good, for the light, are useless to us. It is true, they are not generating power for the dark to as great an extent as someone who is generating power for the dark, but they're not helping either. And what I have asked for before, and I ask for again, just as there was an opportunity for great darkness at that time, now there stands an opportunity for great light. And who will help? Who will help? Which ones of you will be able to put aside your own petty thoughts and start imbuing your mind with the vastness and the power of the divine? Because it is through your vehicles and through your minds that we extend the power of the one God. It is only through your physical vehicles that we can extend the power from one physical vehicle to another. Do you understand? Without your cooperation, nothing will be done. Nothing. And if you wake up to another holocaust, understand that it is as much your doing as anyone else's. Where have you been all this lifetime? What have you done in this lifetime? The responsibility belongs to all of mankind. All of mankind. And those of you who would sit in judgment and righteousness against such powers, I would say, look to your own fears. Do not be so sure of how you would have decided had you been in that environment at that time. If your child had been threatened with life, what would you have done? If your beloved partners had been threatened with great and terrifying consequences, how would you have moved? Please, please, be understanding. And do not be too righteous, because one never knows how one will move unless one is placed in that position. Do you understand that? It is so easy to sit back and judge others. But I ask all of you listening to this tape not to be so holy and so pious, unless somehow you have gone through that same kind of fire and have come out victorious. Then I say you have a right. Do you hear me? Those of you who have gone through similar fire and have been able to stand on the side of the light and allow the darkness to do with you what it will and do to your children and to your loved ones what it will, then I say to you, yes, yes, you have the right to speak. But if you have not gone through that kind of fire, then please put aside your judgments and let your heart open in forgiveness and understanding. In answer to what I think is that last question, my friend, what happens to the divine within such a person as Hitler when they end their lifespan? Well, I will tell you this, which may surprise all of you. You are so convinced that you are only a person in a body creating a little world that you move around in, that you have lost sight of the fact that you are something far vaster that is also and continually and constantly creating an entire other createdness. Your awareness is on your small limitations, and you have forgotten that simultaneously, while you are creating your little egotistical world, you are at the same time creating a vast divine construct, and that goes on eternally. Whatever the divine creates never dies. It simply extends itself onward through what you would call the eternal. So in answer to that question, yes, it is true that as far as the earth life of this certain individual was, it was totally chaotic, demonic, destructive. I grant you all of that. But what he could not see and what you cannot see about him is at the same time the divine within, surrounding, pulsating, was constantly extending, creating something totally beautiful and worthwhile. And he never saw it. And he never could see it. Because the illusion was so strong that this was the real life that he was creating. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Do you understand me?
I'm wondering about the ego. How does ego ever, does ego just someday decide to look at that other side? Does ego have to become convinced? What is the mechanism?
All right, that's an excellent question. The question I should repeat is, does the ego ever somehow, someday decide to look at this other world that it is constructing all of the time? The answer is, of course.
So how does ego become convinced that it should exist?
Understand that everything that the ego does is in defense of knowing the one thing that it knows is going to be the end of its game. It knows that the thing that it cannot do and has never been able to do is to create something that will live eternally. Everything the ego creates dies. And the ego knows this. Now, what is the ego, really? Most people look upon the ego with confusion because they do not know really what it is. And they take their thoughts to be all that is the ego. Do you understand? The body and the thoughts together. Body and mind, I think, are in most people's minds representative of what the ego is. Do you think this is a fair statement?
Yes.
All right. Well, the funny thing about ego is that it's only energy. It is only energy that has begun to move in a certain pattern and continues moving in that pattern. But it constantly has to rejuvenate itself because it is constantly having parts of it die. And this is why it only takes up so much of your life. It cannot extend past a certain limit because it continues to die. Do you understand? If it never died, it would grow in so vastness that it would soon fill the vastness. But it cannot do this because it does not have the power to create anything eternal. By that I mean the energy put into anything egotistically oriented, it must die. In fact, much of what is put into ego dies in the day that it is created. Much of it dies that day. You see, now some things that are given more energy live longer. But still, you must understand that the power of the ego is limited because it always dies. As a part of it is renewing, is building something new, some of it is dying. So it is always kept at a certain, if you will, a certain size, a certain voltage. And this is God's gift to you. Because if the ego could create with the same intensity and longevity as the divine, you would be forever trapped. And the one thing that God did not give you was the right to create eternally. Do you understand what a gift that is? If he had given you power to let your ego, which he could have done, to have your ego create something that would be eternal, you would never be free. Never. But this is not the case. And such it is that if you see the ego, what it is momentum. If you could see ego from the divine perception, it is energy in motion. It is momentum. It is thought, confusion, moving, memory, reflection, ideals, ideas, belief structures, all moving. And it isn't just one person's, my dear friends. You understand that there are so many of you, and you're all doing the same thing, and there is a momentum that has built over the first thought that arose out of the source that said, I am separate. And from that came, oh, I am separate, you are separate, now there are two, he, there are three, so on. Throughout the eons of time, the momentum has begun and now moves with great power. But it is very limiting power. It can never extend beyond itself. And eventually what is going to happen in the individual world of your own world, as we have talked about before, when you finally decide, when that vast surrounding self that surrounds the ego, which is always part and meshed, your vast self is always meshed in this ego structure. It is all together. It isn't something separate as a ball is in a sphere. Your ego is not a concentrated ball afloat in a sphere of self. The ego is simply energy that is permeated at all times with divine wisdom and divine love, which you would call the higher self. It is always within that ego. And eventually what happens is the whole thing begins to dissolve when you remove the energy from what you would call your ego interests. That is the only thing in your terms that will so-called kill the ego. It is not a killing of anything. Nothing dies. What happens is you remove the power of your intense interest and belief in this thing called the ego. And as you stand back as high self and observe the drama of your own life as it goes on, as you begin to see permeating and diffusing and coming forward now the divine within everything, everyone, every particle, every event, the divine begins to take the foreground and the so-called ego begins to move into the background. Do you understand? It's a shifting of your field of energy, of where you're paying attention. And what happens is, eventually, the whole thing, if you could see it cosmically, rather erupts in a blaze of illumination. And all the whole thing then takes on the shimmer of a divine energy field, rather than one that is muddied by limiting thought forms. It's very difficult to understand. I'm clear. Can you ask a question that might clarify it? I sense that I probably haven't painted a very good picture.
It's important where you put your attention.
All right.
Energy goes into it.
Just understand that energy follows thought. Right now, thoughts all go on egotistical carryings on, egotistical hopes, desires, constructs, beliefs, and so on. And all of the energy is going to that. When you decide within you, the vast self within you starts to vibrate and it says, no, wake up, wake up, wake up. There is a world of otherness surrounding this energy. Let us look at that now. Instead of looking at the flickering light, we are now going to look at the vast blue of the wholeness. Let us concentrate on that. In a sense, you will not even be concerned with what happens to your ego constructs. You will not be concerned because your energy will not be there. You simply move it off of the separatedness of yourself as a separated ego and move into the vastness of the spatial awareness. And this then begins to be the foreground of your energy field, and the other recedes. Now it is the opposite. It is all here, my friend. Please, at this moment, those of you looking or listening to this tape, look around you, and you will see that the thing that is right before you is the space. And on the other side of that space is the separation. Do you see? The first thing you see is the space. But you see, you've got it confused. You're looking through the real into the unreal. You're looking through the vast wholeness and concentrating on that which is separate. And this is why I plead again and again, those who are really convinced that they want freedom, to begin to concentrate on the space and to fuzz out, if you will, the separatedness. Because it is only your unwillingness to see what is before you first and then view what is behind that has caused the confusion. For example, if you begin to concentrate with all of your being on the space around you at all times and in all places, within and without, what you will find when you finally do put your eyes on something separate, such as another person, they will not appear the same to you because you are now seeing them through a field of oneness. You are seeing them through this vast field of divine energy. They will not appear the same. Do you understand? They will not look the same. They will not feel the same. You will not experience them the same. You will experience them through this wonderful divine sea of cosmic energy and light that is constantly undulating right before your eyes, and you're not paying attention to it at all. If you begin to concentrate on the space, you will start to see the energy field within it. Is this not a true statement?
It is.
This is what he has begun to realize. You start concentrating on the space, and it starts to take on life. And as you concentrate on it more and more, the life that it has, instead of separating you from each other, unites you. But instead of seeing now everyone as separated beings and things as separated one from the other, what you will see is that it is all of a one. And the energy that starts in this body and moves into this vastness and moves to another body is all connected. There is no separation. When you begin to see this with all of your emotional body will see it. Please understand, your emotional body will see it. Your mental body will see it. And your physical body will begin to experience it. You will begin to see everything totally different. The world may look the same in some funny kind of a way to you. You will still see form and shape and color and so on. But you will not be in the same world. Because you will now be seeing it in a totally different way. Because you will have been seeing it through the vast beauty of the cosmic one. Do you understand? This is why I say again and again, those of you who are really serious, pay attention to the space between things, the space between persons. Do not pay such attention to what people are saying and doing and thinking and how they're acting. Please, pay attention to that which unites you. If you pay attention to what they do, say, think, feel, you are concentrating on their limitation, on their separation from you, and you will never, no matter how much you want, can you ever mesh that kind of separation with you, because they are separate. But instead, if you take another field as your focus and focus on that which unites you, everything changes. I promise it. If you doubt me, which some of you should doubt me because some of you do not know me, I would say to you, try it. If after 1 year of absolute determination to concentrate on the space, you find that nothing has changed in your life, that your emotional body still vibrates to every separated thought rather than to one of unity, if you find that your mental body is still agitated with thoughts of separation and not union, then come to me and I will listen. But I seriously doubt that anyone totally dedicated to 1 year of this kind of activity is going to find their life the same. It is not possible. It is not possible.
Bartholomew, if the perceptions that we have of the world are structured by our thinking, then the illusion is within us. It's not outside.
Of course not, my friend. Thank you. I wish everyone could understand that. The illusion is within. The outer is built by the inner. It is not the opposite. You can see everything in the outer world through a divine wisdom, and it will speak an utterly different song. What is in your mind? If your mind is hanging on with all of your power to a divine blazing light, then you will see light. And you will see only light. And others will say, but look at all this chaos, look at all this ugliness. And you will say, I don't see it. I see only the light. There isn't anyone listening to this tape that hasn't misused power today, this day, this very day. And people who think that they have are not watching. Instead of an ego, you have misused power because you are using the world in a certain way. Understand that the ego wants to use the world for its own benefit. Understand that. That's what the ego uses the world for. The world is for that reason. To keep it isolated, superior, somehow special. That's what the world is for from the ego's point of view. When you begin to awaken, then you start using the world for your own freedom. And you must, when you begin this search, you must allow others their freedom too. You know this instinctively, that you cannot be free and keep others in bondage. It is not possible. Everyone must be free to be exactly as they are, to perceive things precisely as they see them, and it's none of your business. And those of you who go around trying to change other people's thoughts are just meddling where it's none of your business. All you can do is change your mind. And change it with all of the dynamic power that the gods have resided within your being to use, and use it. That is your job. That is your only job. If it turns out that you are free at the end of a certain span of time, and you see the illusion and are now standing free, you still don't help others. All you do is be, and they will be helped. But it is not you who will help them, and you will know it. If you somehow think that you have the power to help others, you're trapped in the illusion. If anyone begins to try to help another person, spiritually or any other way, and goes within their mind to think about something, you're not helping. You're just confusing the issue. The only thoughts that are free are the thoughts that come from the source of freedom. The ego is not free, and it cannot think a free thought if it lived a million years. It could not think a free thought. It doesn't understand what a free thought is. It only uses the idea of freedom to further entrap you. I understand this is difficult to understand, but it is truth. As long as you rely on thoughts that arise from the ego, you are not freeing yourself, and you are not freeing anyone else. The only thoughts that liberate are those that come from the divine free source. And as long as you're doing the thinking, you're not thinking divine thoughts. The divine thinks. The divine thought moves through you and influences others in its own way, in its own time, with its own understanding, and you have nothing to do with it.
Would we be aware of these thoughts, or say intuition or something like that, or?
I think you are aware of divine movement when you are ablaze with joy. When there's that moment of dynamic energy buildup, you know, you know what I mean? The body seems to vibrate with some kind of a bliss, if I can use the word. You are aware that right now, in this interchange, something is happening. It is happening. Energy is moving, and you haven't generated it, and you're not thinking about it, and it's happening. And that is when the divine is moving through you. But if you go to your mind and seek through all of the bags and bags and bags of old ideas and old thoughts and hearsay and unproven data, and just haul them out for another mind to have to take in, you're not helping anything. The only thing that changes is that which is experienced. The only time divine energy changes anything is when it's experienced through a vehicle. And that's when it always changes. It changes the vehicle it moves through, and it changes everything that it touches. And why isn't it happening all the time? Because you don't allow it. You stop it. You restrict it, you confine it, you decide for it, and you do not allow it. If you wish to live a life divine, allow. At all times and in all places, simply allow. Open up your heart and allow it. All of the wisdom and all of the creativeness lies within your heart. You don't have to learn another thing. Not one thing do you need to know. All you have to do is to allow it. It is so simple. It is so simple.
No, I do have a question in relation to this.
general topic. When the world is moving into a period as it was during World War I and World War II, which I view as all part of the same thing, clearly this is foreseen on higher levels, and these things happen clearly with the knowledge of forces that could be at work to avert them or to have things go in a different way. Just what is going on in the higher levels when a man like Hitler is on the scene and it's clear that it could go one way or it could go another way, and is there an effort made on the part of the higher forces to minimize the negativity and maximize the light?
That's an excellent question. This ended up being cosmology, but I will go into it. I hesitate to say these things because people then get very addicted to this kind of thing, but I will say this. At the time of great upheaval, many, many, many of the so-called brotherhood choose to incarnate on the earth plane in order to take on as much of and transmute as much of the energy as is possible. Left to your own devices, my friend, this world would be a much worse place than it is now. But understand this. They cannot move one iota of energy against your combined will. This is your world. You have created it. And they will not move to destroy it or to change it or to lead you in another direction until your heart cries out. Now, it is true that in times of great chaos, great awakenings happen. Great awakenings happen to some of the darkest people. In the very moment of their extremity, something happens within them. And the very overabundance of darkness is so obvious to them that they awaken. And they see. And they understand. And it is then, for them, a worthwhile lifetime of understanding. It awakens. And many of those involved in the wars do respond in this manner. When one has to go and take the life of another, in actuality, one feels the violation that one has committed within one's own being because you've killed yourself. Understand that you've killed yourself. When you know this, when you see it, when you feel it, your life changes. And many of these events took place. Many. I would not deny that. But all that we can do, all that can be done, is to place as many what might be called divine sponges in the world at that time, who go quietly, unassumingly, without any words, and do their best to draw it forward into it, transmute it, and carry it forward in some way. But they cannot change what you choose to create. Understand that. Understand that.
Which means they could not avert the war.
They will not avert the war. They will only do what they can. If we could avert it, we would have averted it all. As I say, if I could, I would move my hand and avert all further disaster for all of you, if I could. But I cannot. That is not the function. That is your function. If you can go within your own mind and do your own cleaning out, you will have averted all of your own disasters. There will be nothing there but the divine power. Nothing else would remain because you no longer are paying attention to it. So the only thing that we can do is to call upon the great host of created ones who choose to reincarnate into the earth plane at times of severe difficulty. There are many now on the earth plane.
I was going to ask that. It seems to be another difficult period we're moving into.
Yes, they are there.
Many coming in for this purpose.
But many, they do not come in as teachers, understand, because that is not their function. Their function is to come in as sponges, to simply take the divine and do the best they can with it. In order to function in a role of teacher, one usually ends up having to have a more isolated, protected sort of a life, if you understand me. It has to be more isolated in a sense that you would not be able to be a good teacher in the midst of a great war. You understand, on the battlefield. And where they need to be is on the battlefield. This is where they are. Oh yes, they have to be in where it's at, where all of that energy is that is still fit. And they do their best, and there are many. Yes, if you could see a battlefield from a divine perception, it would be interesting. If you want to talk in terms of bodhisattvas, if you want to talk in terms of dedicated brothers, then understand that those are some of the greatest servants of the one God, who choose to place their vehicles in an atmosphere of total hostility, hate, and bloodlust, and take it on.
No.
And when we ask you to take on just a little, please be willing to do so. Those of you who live with people in difficulty, those who teach children with difficulty, please be willing to do your small job. You know, the symbol of the Christ and his crucifixion can be understood thus way. As he hung there, as he lived his life, as he moved through all of those situations, becoming increasingly difficult and chaotic, his awareness was not on his own preservation. His awareness was, how much of this can I possibly transmute? How much of this can I possibly take care of before I must go? His thoughts were not on his own safety. That is an example, I think, if you could think upon it. Don't walk with fear. Walk with courage. Don't worry about yourself. The one God will take care of you. Think of others. Always others. With forgiveness, with compassion, with understanding. Whatever qualities you can bring forward, think of that. Don't worry about yourself and how you're going to take care of things. What can you do? So, if one looks upon every other human as the chance to do that which the Christ did so beautifully, perhaps one's life perspective could change. And you say to me, but that is so hard to do when people are so hard to deal with. Okay, yes, but you're paying attention to the wrong thing. If you are paying attention to their limitations, then you are going to see limitations. If, on the other hand, you are paying attention to the vast space that surrounds them and contains them, then you're going to see something else.
Can I ask about faith? I seem to only be able to feel with this body what's in the body.
All right. I think this is a good question, and I will go ahead and put it on the general pitch. You are not able to because you haven't yet made the union of the outer and the inner. I would suggest to you that you begin maximum awareness of the outer, even if at the beginning you have to sacrifice some of your abilities on the earth plane. By that I mean, in your teaching capacity, instead of being so in tune with what is happening, if you could just be in the space, it may be at the beginning that you might not be able to move as freely as you would like to, not as be as centered as you would like to be. But I assure you, my friend, that what you give up in the way of centeredness at that time will be vastly repaid at a later date. If you can simply keep on to such an extent, both in your quiet meditations on the space within and on your daily round with the space without, you will find that they meld. When they merge, the game is up. Yes, you cannot see yourself as outside your body because you are so convinced that you are your body. But once you see that this energy that is out and in is all one, then the game, as I put it, is beginning to fade, and you will no longer be trapped.
we understand. It takes practice. It takes identification of this faith as somehow being you. I would suggest to you that you try and move out into that space as much as you can. You can do that. Practice it. Move out into the space. See the space not as something separate from you, but as an extension of you. Do you understand? Just feel yourself moving into that space. However, a gimmick it might appear at the beginning, it will end up being extremely helpful. Just feel yourself moving into that space as you sit in meditation. Get very centered on the space within and then allow it to move out. And allow that space, that feeling of self, to move out and out and out. And as you walk in your daily round, don't see space as something separate from you, a big chunk of space. See yourself as moving into it and participating in it and feel yourself part of it. As you walk, feel yourself moving through it, and it's part of you, not something separated from you. Do you understand? Everything that you touch, to see that there is some kind of a union. Keep your mind and the pitch of your being on union, on being a part of rather than a separated sense of. You understand? It takes practice. But the more attention paid, the more it begins to be your natural state. And then you will look at the mountain and you will know that you can rest your cheek gently against the side of the mountain. You will know that you can do this. And you will do it. And your awareness will travel. And you will lay your cheek against the side of this beautiful mountain. And you will take sustenance from it. And then your mind will travel to the vastness of the sky. And your awareness will move out. And you will lay your hands upon the clouds. And you will know things. And you will know many things. You are not limited. You are not limited. Know it and be free.